From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now, or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. You are you, and that makes this stuff they don't want you to know. I want to check. You guys doing all right? You feeling good?
Feeling nice.
Yeah.
Having some car trouble.
Yeah, having some car trouble.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully temporary, right?
Yeah.
Well,
but, you know, not cheap.
You still made it here.
I did make it here.
Hell or high water.
I had a lovely Uber driver in a van with one of those doors where when you touch it, it opens with like this
so
bionic.
Those are the best.
But you never know how hard to push it, you know? Those freak me out. I just let them do it.
Is there a DVD system in the back? You could watch like Moana or something?
No, but the windshield was cracked.
Oh.
You know, what's weird about this is everybody listening right now is probably thinking, what is this episode going to be about? I mean, if they didn't read the title for the show, they're thinking, are they going to talk about DVDs? Is this a car conspiracy?
Mm-hmm.
Is this? It might be, because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing a very special episode, something a little bit different. This is not about just one topic. This is about multiple things, and we are maybe going to be surprised ourselves in the course of this episode, and as every fan of UFO Disclosure has always wanted to hear someone say, we are not alone.
Today we are joined by, what should we call him?
a local luminary.
Yeah, there you go. He's a local Atlanta legend of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Of sorts.
prolific performer and known for numerous things.
Yes, he uses his voice very much like an instrument that you would find in an orchestra.
Although I'm not a singer. Please, let's not get into that.
Again, we can play a guessing game, but people have probably already read the title. So.
the title already gives it away. I don't know why you guys are tap dancing around who I am.
That's just what we do. That's what we do. We're tap dancers. But who do we have?
Let's ladies just and gentlemen, Lucky Yates. Thank you for coming on the show, sir.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. This is truly a dream come true for me.
Well, it's a dream come true for us because we found out that we have someone that likes the show. That's always cool. You reached out to us and we're like, let's hang. And we're like, yes.
It is seriously the only podcast I can stand to listen to regularly.
He loved to be stood.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We're finally stood.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, no.
I'm your guy.
Yeah.
So, Lucky, with some background for people who are thinking, this voice is so familiar.
I kind of know that voice.
Yeah.
If they watch Archer, the television show now on FXX, we used to be on straight up FX.
Mm-hmm.
What's the extra X for?
I play Dr. Krieger. You know what? I don't know. FX Extra? I don't know what. I don't know.
Is it Extreme? Sexier? Is it a little, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. I don't know. It's Always Sunny? Sexy show?
Well, you know.
They have their moments. Well, I do know that during the days of bootlegging and corn mash distilleries, the X's would show us how many times something had been processed or distilled.
Right.
So maybe it's just more and more potent.
That very well could be. Although I don't know that the execs over at XX or at FXX looked that deeply into the bootlegger history of our nation when thinking of a good title for their extra, where they were going to chuck the stuff they didn't really want to give a lot of commercial dollars to. That's not really true.
That's not true.
I don't know how it works in TV. I really don't. I'm happy to be on it.
I am happy to imagine a world where studio execs say we are going to base our decisions on a 1920s era bootlegging history.
We were talking earlier, you actually listened to this show.
Yeah, I listen to it all the time.
And
it's great.
You caught the last episode.
Yeah,
about
the Moving
Mars.
To Mars one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, loved it. It's insane. We'll never get there. Humanity will never make it that far off this planet. Are you kidding me? We'll destroy ourselves first.
And you brought up a really great point off air. You said, why should we move to Mars?
Yeah, why wouldn't we go to the moon? It's 3 days away by capsule. you know, we can build an elevator there, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would we go to 6 months away on a planet full of zero resources except maybe some ice up top?
Yeah.
So true. And we've already been to the moon, right?
Yeah, several times.
Pence says we're going back.
Mike Pence, the VP?
He's in charge of space now.
Well, he's in charge of, I wouldn't be the mayor of space.
He is the king of space. And Buzz Aldrin doesn't seem too pleased about it. Did you see that thing where he was making some faces?
Yeah.
Well, Buzz Aldrin's at that point where he can just go anywhere and say whatever he wants. Because, you know, he's been to the moon.
Right.
What are you gonna say? I know it doesn't make him an automatic authority on everything, but if I were somewhere and Buzz Aldrin came in and said, it doesn't matter. It could be a negligible thing. If he came in and was like, I think that you're wrong and tigers aren't the coolest animals and emus are better. And I was like, well, that's your opinion. And he said, I went to the moon. I would be like, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Say what you want.
Have you stood on the moon and looked back down on the earth?
Because emus look way cooler.
I thought the moon landing was shot by Stanley Kubrick on a soundstage, though.
Yeah.
Am I off base with that?
We had to really get the Russians in the space race, apparently, so they shot this.
We could do an episode on the Stanley Kubrick thing. It's surprising. But, yeah, it is true that you can look – you can – if you grab a nice enough telescope, you can look on the moon and see, like, evidence of stuff we left there.
Yeah, we've littered the moon already.
We've littered it. Sure. Yeah.
Why don't we just go back up there and keep littering it and build some stuff? Nice hotel.
Yeah, and clean it up a little bit, too, because, you know, no littering, right?
Yeah, no, please. Well, sure. We've already – it's too late. Somewhere there's a native moon person – crying a single tear on a moon TV commercial. That's a 1970s joke.
I just can't wait for moon tourism. Then we'll really mess up the joint.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, and you guys are catching some hell based on that episode, are you not?
Well, this is true.
That is true, yeah.
We actually just got a really, very intelligently worded takedown of the episode from a listener named, I'm going to use the last name because it's an awesome one, Washenfelder.
Yes.
Mr. Washenfelder. And he says he really enjoys listening to the show, but the recent episode about Martian colonies was so cringeworthy, I had to force myself to listen to the whole thing. And we don't want you guys to have to force yourselves to do anything. We want you to do it, you know, no duress when listening to the show.
Very Luciferian, you have agency.
So the biggest problem is that your guest, while I am sure he's knowledgeable about many various things, so completely ignorant of economics. Unfortunately, his ignorance taints the whole episode and leads him down the path of envisioning a top-down, statist, planned, totalitarian surveillance state. Now, I have to say, this is reminiscent of conversations we had before doing the interview. And, you know, communism came up a couple times in the interview. I think the thing that this listener maybe is not appreciating is that this was, in fact, a thought experiment.
Yeah.
You know, it was all very, like, hypothetical and an interesting way of, like, how would we restart from scratch? And you used the word
technocracy.
The idea of putting all your faith into this ultimately man-made thing that kind of goes on its own, but we programmed it, did we not? So, you know, it's like he seems to really believe that if we let AI run the show, there will be no inequality.
Well, that's the problem. We, outside of science fiction, we have literally no real world proof or idea or precedent for what would happen.
Correct.
We have Audis that can parallel park. Google has a car that manages to stay out of accidents.
Tesla is doing pretty well.
And a lot of people believe autonomous vehicles are going to be the wave of the future. But that's not the same thing as saying an artificial intelligence should run a society that is already eliminating any margin of error.
Have you not seen Space Odyssey? I mean, you know, machines, when you give them too much power, they turn on you.
Yeah.
And they sing creepy songs and monotone voices and they won't open the airlock. That's what happens. That's where we're headed.
Well, eventually they see humans as the virus that is ruining the utopia for which they were programmed to create, and they start knocking us off. The robot revolution's coming one way or the other. The question is, which way are we? Is that the way humans are really going out, or are we going to knock ourselves out of the
which
game
side are you
before the
be
robots
on?
Come?
Well, I side gotta, with the robot overlords.
So I am bow to my robot overlords.
Well, yes. Because we're going to become them, right? That's at least what we're trying
the hope,
to do, yeah.
Is that we can, and man, that is... Look, I hit 50. I become 50 years old in October. And so I figure I've got maybe another 50 left, given today's modern medical science.
Sure.
That is optimistic, my friend.
If at that point we are able to download ourselves, my consciousness, into... Sign me up.
I want
to be the first guy in line. I don't care if I'm hacked. I just want to get into that world and just see.
Have you seen the latest season of Black Mirror?
No.
Oh, man.
I really couldn't make it past the initial pig screwing.
Well, this is, yeah, that's a quality episode.
There's such a brilliant episode. I'm done.
There's one in particular that's actually probably the most upbeat of all the episodes in the entire series. It's called San Junipero, and it deals with, without any spoilers at all, something along the lines of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So we get dinged for even, I accidentally spoiled Lost for somebody, a show that's like,
let it go.
So we've kind of like stuck with a 5-year cutoff for spoilers.
That's our statute. That's
fair.
I feel like
anyway,
fair.
You should watch
Sage. Okay, yeah, I will.
If you have time.
So we want to thank everybody for their opinions. Keep us honest. We do have a couple of emails that we'll read on a separate episode regarding this, but I think there's a really good point that Lucky here made, which is, you know, are we being cartoonishly optimistic about going to Mars?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you looked at the math? Well, it's insane.
Yeah, we can. There's no way. The best we could hope for is to create some sort of penal colony up there, you know?
Australia.
Jump off our bad. Yeah. Or, you know, parts of the, you know, like Georgia was once upon a time a penal colony, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, like, just send the bad ones up there. Man, if they build something, great. Eventually, we can send up some other forces to take down the prisoners, and we'll just absorb the stuff that they've built. Humans are awful. Every organism is awful. Every organism is fighting for its dominance in this crazy universe of ours. And so, like, what are you going to do? You want to build something, don't try to send nice people up there to do it. Eventually, they're going to turn on each other anyway.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Bill and Mary Jane are going to be doing it, and then Roderick is going to enter the picture, and then all hell's going to break loose, and we only got 20 people up there anyway, and now they're all dead because Roderick got pissed.
Yeah. We really should have screened him. You know what I mean?
He just didn't, like, he didn't answer the questions. Like, how will people be screened? Will we be in a situation where the planet, there are ecosystems collapsing, right? Like, if a kid born today, if not them, maybe when they have children, those kids are never going to eat a wild fish.
Right.
Or something, right?
Not even Alaskan sockeye?
Well, I mean, farm-raised, maybe.
That's the good one, though, right? That's like the premium fish.
You're hoping.
Yeah.
We might.
Dyed tilapia.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, the tilapia thing is apparently really disgusting.
Yeah.
And a lot of calamari is actually pig intestines.
I've heard that too.
Yes. We're eating chitlins and we're thinking it's calamari. That's the best thing
that
I've ever heard.
Funny. It's happening.
I've also heard that scallops sometimes are just pressed white fish. They click to cut them out with a cookie cutter, and it's just like crappy, like white fish that they put in the shape of a scallop.
Listen, there's so many people on the planet, everything has to be a lie. Or else we'd just go insane and rip each other to shreds.
It's true. We have to have that illusion of, there was that old quotation that was every civilization is 7 missed meals away from anarchy.
Yeah.
Like if nobody eats for a week, then
that's it.
Have you seen Les Mis? I mean, come on.
I actually read the book.
Little Gavroche. I mean,
I've actually never seen the show, but I have listened to that soundtrack 8 billion times.
So you kind of, you know what happens.
I studied the theater. I get the gist.
Yeah.
I remember history.
That's a good show.
I've been to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Not a sponsor of this show. Oh, what? Yes. We just beeped.
I would love to have her as a sponsor. She's surely dead.
I think she died a very long time ago.
That's just a wax sculpture of her.
Actually, I think she's in the museum. Like, there is a sculpture of her.
There's a wax sculpture of her.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
It's like if you're a real estate agent, you have a nice house, you know?
That's a good point.
That would be a perfect sponsor for this show.
Madame Tussauds.
I went to the one in New York not long ago. It was a lot of fun.
It's fun.
I really enjoyed it. I took my kid. I have a 6-year-old, and she loved it.
And as soon as you leave, you just want – you're like, why don't I have a graven image of myself in wax?
It's so weird walking up to them because they really do look like living, breathing human beings that at any second could turn to you and go boo and freak you out. I was pretty freaked out when I went in. It was great.
And that sort of situation, that uncanny valley, might be closer than we think because – you know, you mentioned medical technology progressing. I think that's realistic. You know, we hear a lot about futurism and people say, oh, Alan Kurzweil is deluding himself when he says, we're going to discover these different forms of immortality. Something like it is happening, but I think before that, we'll have increasingly, we'll have androids and artificial beings that cleave increasingly closer to what is human, like in Japan, where there are dozens, dare I say almost hundreds of scientists who are saying, let's build a very specific lifelike thing. Mm-hmm. And it's almost always creepy.
Yeah.
It's always some guy's like, I built the perfect woman for you. See, she can feel pain.
Oh, wow.
I sent you that video, Matt. You saw that.
As a woman should. Let's feed it, old man. Get out of here.
Very strange.
Yeah, that's weird.
We're some rambling fools because we haven't even gotten to the topics we discussed and agreed upon.
That's true.
Should we ramble on? I know. I mean, I'm liking the ramble, but let's ramble down this road over here.
Yeah, let's do that thing they tell you to do in technical writing presentations. Mm. Say what you're going to talk about, then talk about it, then tell people what you talked about, right? Yeah. Have you ever heard that?
It's the old filling time trick.
Well, it's setting some guidelines, right?
That's fair.
We want to explore some of the following things today. We wanted to explore some topics that we talked about off air. Cloning, aliens, magic, marijuana legalization, and the extinction, possibly alleged,
question mark,
of the dodo.
That's
which is
right.
Something we didn't know about until you told us about it.
They're still out there, man.
You think so?
No. I mean, maybe there's some sort of version of it. Maybe on some, you know, they were concentrated on this one little tiny island of Mauritius, you know, until humans came along. And then they were there for millions of years and didn't need to evolve or devolve to get rid of their wings.
There's no competition.
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah, there were no mammals on the island until people started showing up in the 16th century, and then we brought along with us not only our clubs and our appetites, but also boars and dogs and rats and all
cats.
Kinds of things that ate these ground dwellers' eggs. And so we knocked, like, within 100 years, they were gone. Now, I'm into the idea that perhaps, you know, I'm sure not all dodos stayed on Mauritius, that the sailors who took a liking to these screwy birds threw them on ships and brought them to other, you know, ports and all that kind of stuff to show them off. And maybe a couple of them got loose and everything. But there are some really, you know, questionable videos out there of some dodos running around. And it's very, very obvious that these videos, I don't know, they don't look too legit. But I love the idea that maybe, you know, they're ground dwellers. They were in thick jungles most of the time that, you know, I mean, you guys did cryptids not too long ago. You know, if a Bigfoot can hide, then a dodo certainly can
surely
hide.
Oh man,
they are hideous though.
Do you
what's that, dodos?
Yeah.
I think they're amazing. They look like really
so
like dinosaurs
freaky.
That just like left left around.
These guys know that I'm somewhat terrified of birds.
I wouldn't say somewhat.
Pretty legitimately terrified
bird
of birds.
Really?
Yeah. They just, I don't like their beady little eyes.
Yeah.
I don't like their little creepy movements. And
they're
the
dinosaurs
dodo
on the planet.
They really are. That's what it is. I'm not crazy about lizards either. I think that might
you're
be
only safe because of the size difference.
Yeah. No, my cat, too, will like murder birds and like bring them home. And I don't even like to mess with them when they're dead.
Have you ever experienced a murder bird?
No, but I like, it.
The Northeast murder bird is not to be messed with.
No.
There's not such a
I have nightmares sometimes that there are birds under my covers. Like,
yeah.
No.
Oh, that's true.
You don't have none of it.
You've been doing that?
What? Yeah.
Is that you?
You shouldn't have given me a key.
You were a creep.
Well, fine. I am what I am.
Get out of my life. Get out of my head.
His cockatiels need somewhere to go at night.
Well, it's weird, too, because I had a period. I had a period of bird love, I guess. When I was younger, I had a cockatiel.
Really?
Yeah. Bird tolerance.
Yeah,
I had a pet cockatiel, and it would sit on my shoulder. There's pictures of me as a kid. But then I turned back that corner of bird hate, and I didn't even want to touch the cockatiel.
So you don't want there to be some sort of relic population of dodos.
No.
Which I agree.
I wish all birds were extinct.
Very improbable. We have to have birds. They're part of the ecosystem.
I don't really believe that, you guys. Don't write me mean emails.
So
very sensitive.
So Lucky, you sent us this video where you were like, maybe.
Yeah. How about Dodo's being still alive somewhere?
And I was thinking of all the animals that could survive with a relic population. Dodos? Because this is roughly in the same area of the world where we still see a lot of people swearing that they saw Tasmanian tigers.
Right.
You know, which are big creatures. And it's very, very like, I know technically it would be more difficult for those to survive just because of their size and their range. But they just seem so much more well-prepared for life than a dodo.
Yeah. Well, and a dodo being a 3-foot-tall, 50-pound ground bird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they're out there, we're going to see them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, yeah, like, they got to come out for food sometime. They can't just eat in the forests. They would shellfish were part of their diet, too. Yeah, I want there to be dodos really bad. I look forward to, perhaps, I think they recently discovered some DNA evidence of the dodo. You know, they had none to begin with. You know, it was just some scraps of bones and all that kind of stuff. And people have stayed on it for years and years. And just recently, somewhere in the 2000s, they discovered something with enough DNA evidence that, you know, it's like the mammoth, where you sort of hope that they can it's a ground pigeon is the dodo. It's in the pigeon family. So if we can sort of re-engineer the dodo bird.
Well, for what it's worth, 1 in 4 Brits believe the dodo still exists, according to a study from the World Wildlife Federation.
British people?
And yeah. They would know.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, the sun never set on the British Empire.
That's so true. That is true.
Anybody, you know, also, who knows, maybe the Brits are hiding secret dodos.
Maybe Buckingham Palace has a dodo den.
Maybe. Here's a theory that I'm going to bounce off you guys.
All right.
What if there is some form of dimensional travel of which the Sasquatch is a member of
That came up in our interview.
Let's say that once upon a time, the unicorns figured out how to slip through dimensions.
Okay.
And then when the Bigfoot was sort of about to get extinct, the unicorns thought, I'm going to save that Bigfoot. Got him to the other. Now it was the dodo. And then every once in a while, they slip back through. Like, they on your Bigfoot episode, they're like, Bigfoot coming, like, they wave their arms.
That was cool.
As a form of weird,
I dig that.
If you can be seen, but then disappear.
It was very,
I mean, if you're going to go down the rabbit hole, go deep is what I always
say. That's what I do. Like, we don't know that you can't slip through dimensions. We don't know, just because we can't do it and haven't seen any real evidence of it.
It's true, because science does indicate that there are dimensions that the average person doesn't interact with in a conscious way.
We're like meat beings, right? There's like got to be more going on. I mean, there's so much more going on than our eyeballs can see or perceive. You know what I mean? So like, who knows?
We still haven't figured out death, and we've been trying to crack that nut for a long time. So,
yeah.
Do you guys ever wonder if you're being observed from some higher dimensional plane?
We are. They're right there on the other side of that glass.
By the window.
A bunch of creeps whispering.
Oh, I knew I could
feel
it.
Yes. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I'm making light, but sure.
That we're being watched by some sort of cosmic overlord?
I don't believe in God, but like, I get that sense, right? Mm. Like, there's something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, even if it's just a population of other intelligent beings that exist on a higher dimensional level.
That are watching this idiot breed of ape ruin their planet.
Maybe, but it makes me wonder if that did in fact exist, if peering into whatever this dimension is would even be possible.
Well, if there is a super symmetry to consciousness, then they would probably enjoy watching a train wreck.
Because you could see the whole thing, right? Like, essentially, time would be
a flat circle.
Oh, where's my can of Lone Star? my booty knife.
Where's my terrible sequel?
Such a letdown.
All right. Well, I still believe in the first
television.
So speaking of sequels and brilliant segues, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And we have returned. I propose that we shift to something else, something that's been in the news lately.
Yeah, I saw this story not long after I spit into a little vial and mailed it off to a company called Ancestry.com.
Yeah.
And they're not a sponsor, so I'm gonna trash them a little bit.
Give us the straight
poop.
Well,
first of all, they were very nice. They let us, it was for another show that I work on called The Stuff of Life, and we had an episode, it was called Wired, where it was about the connection between human beings on the planet, whether it's electronic or, you know, what's the word? Genetic or, you know, various ancestors, et cetera. And so we all took the tests and we got the results back and it was so underwhelming. It was like, I'm 80% Scandinavian or something. And it was just like, I was expecting more granular detail in there. So it was already a letdown there.
Mm-hmm.
Then, lo and behold, I stumble upon this headline, Genealogy, a warning to Ancestry customers who consent to use DNA services.
Uh-oh.
And it's basically about how they have partnered with a biotech company called Calico that's owned by Google. And this partnership allows Ancestry to make its customers' DNA results available to other companies for research purposes.
Yes. Yeah, I like how vague
it is.
This is
what I want.
And, you know, God. this is a serious rabbit hole if we want to go down it, which obviously we very much do.
We're already on the way.
If we want to go to the depths, could they clone me without my consent?
Oh, I want to run into another me at the mall one day. Like,
what?
And then have the whole chase and the whole, oh, man, I want it so bad.
The age of doppelgangers.
For what reason would they collect your DNA? Like, are they starting a seed bank for humanity, much like the seed bank that's being flooded out in, where is it?
It's Norway, I believe.
Norway, yeah.
Yeah, it's in Scandinavia.
Somewhere at the top of the world.
Maybe they're just holding on to it till they can figure out something cool to do with it.
Yeah, let's populate Mars with workers.
Yeah.
Of, like, these guys that, you know, they don't know. Yeah, I told you you were 80% Nordic.
Right.
Thanks.
Right.
Thanks for your worker up there. We got another you digging a pit.
I was underwhelmed to the point where I was like, what is up? Something, then, like, it's like.
It didn't feel like a real service.
It didn't feel like a real service. And now I find this out, and it's like, man.
Yeah, you got finessed.
I mean, you know, at first, you know, we already know our data is being sold, bought and sold.
Yeah.
And they know everything about
There's
all our habits.
You can't hide.
Now it's our DNA. Granted, I chose to spit into that little vial.
True.
That was my choice.
Yeah.
And it was free.
But, you know, if they're really trying to be super nefarious and get particular people's DNA, it's easy to chase somebody down and get a glass after they drank out of it.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So, like, it's, yeah, it sucks, but.
But this is like fine print that I have consented to, right?
Sure.
Like, they have my stuff.
Nobody reads the fine print.
They have my stuff.
Well, here's the thing.
I want my stuff back.
Here's one thing we do know. Gene therapy, they would use, they would look through your code to find indicators of a preponderance or a tendency for a genetic disease,
right.
A predisposition.
Yeah.
And they would say, well, it turns out that this person is 80% Scandinavian. I'm making this up. I'm not trying to scare you. Has a higher likelihood of developing what's something really weird.
I don't know.
They could make it up.
Sort of super glaucoma.
Super glaucoma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an epidemic in Scandinavia. and so they would say, okay, well, now we have this treatment that we've patented that can address that thing for this specific group of people, but we own it. You don't get a part of it. That's the other thing that got me. Cause I'm so cheap, you guys. When I learned about all the massive data collection, just electronic surveillance, I figured, okay, yeah, well, that happens. And then I learned that they were selling it and I wasn't getting a cut.
Yeah.
I was like, that is not cool.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
what I mean?
Right.
So here's
yeah.
The gist of the fine print.
Okay.
This is from an article that I just pulled up. It says, basically, Ancestry gets to use or distribute your DNA for any research or commercial purpose it decides and doesn't have to pay you or your heirs. Ancestry takes this royalty-free license in perpetuity for all time and can distribute the results of your DNA test anywhere in the world and with any technology that exists or will ever be invented. That's the part that
or
I'm talking about.
Ever be
or
invented.
Will ever be invented.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, that means they can clone me.
It's weird in contracts when they give, like, in perpetuity in all the known universe. Like, they will go out and they're like, whoa, what? The universe?
I feel like I got you guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
seriously.
Did. You
well,
did.
How long can a blood sample last, do you think, or a saliva sample last?
Well, you can also...
Can you extract it or something?
It's
or
not
like,
a one and done because you can cultivate it.
Right.
So they can just continue growing until they're ready to make a
I know you're trying to make me feel better, Matt, but not helping.
Well, you got to put yourself in the... Yeah, it sucks.
I
don't
know,
do that. Don't take my DNA and do stuff with it. But what are they really going to do?
I don't know.
What are they going to do that's going to screw up your life so bad? Unless they, like, plant it on a crime scene in order to frame you. But why would they do that? Don't make an enemy at whatever Google so that they're not planting your DNA to murder scene.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. If a company like Google has this kind of power...
Minority Report!
That's rough, man. You know, I don't know how I feel about
this. What
I
wouldn't do is just don't ever talk trash about Google or Alphabet. Or,
I just
know,
did!
Any of the big corporations.
I just
that
did!
That ship has sailed. That rocket is launched. We're on the way.
Well, sorry, over Noel. For me, guys.
No, it's not. All and right. Hey, don't feel bad.
Is it going to be okay?
Yeah, I mean, right. And if we lose you, we'll just get the other version.
You can use my clone.
Yeah, well, and it's the type of thing that maybe one day they, like, got a clone of you in a tank somewhere, yeah, and then you're like, oh, I'm dying of kidney failure, and then suddenly there's a knock on your door, and they're like, hey, we have a kidney that's yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can buy it from us because you signed this thing that said we could have
it. We can sell it to you.
It'll come back to you if you'd like.
Yeah. Touché.
We'll grow
ancestry.
Another one. Yeah. So
put
yeah.
you on a payment plan. Right?
Layaway.
Layaway kidney.
The thing about clones in the basement is you got to be really careful about power fluctuations. Like, that can be a big deal just from, you know.
From everything you've learned?
Yeah, from everything I've learned. Yeah,
you
this,
thought that grow room was hard to keep.
While they're in the tank, I'm assuming they'll be in some sort of tank, that if the power fluctuates between that, then what might happen? Mutations will happen?
Oh, yeah, all kinds of bad things could happen.
Well, you should know a little thing or two about cloning. That's sort of a thing that
all
your character
is all
about.
All I know is the comedy that Adam Reed writes into a script about such things. That's all I
don't
know.
Don't you have a basement with tanks?
No. Oddly enough, no, even though most of my Twitter followers think that I am, in fact, a cartoon scientist that has these things. It's remarkable to me that in the 21st century, people don't know the difference between the person who voices a character and this actual cartoon scientist that does insane things.
Are you saying you don't have a holographic girlfriend?
I really don't.
Oh, man.
Although last year at Dragon Con, there was a guy who dressed as Krieger, and he had a little mini... projector with him, and he would stand next to walls, and he had a Mitsuko as her name, and she could move, like there was like a GIF form, and so she would move next to him, and it was brilliant. It was like, oh, it was so good.
You gotta respect the craft at that point.
Right? Yeah, it really incredible. People are devoted. Cosplayers are
Dragon awesome. Con cosplay in particular is pretty...
It's the big one.
Pretty intense. Yeah.
That's the whole point of that whole
thing. Went to New York Comic Con for the first time, and it was amazing. Like, the rooms, like, the vendors blew my mind. But, like, the costume game was just not nearly the same level.
Yeah. San Diego is this gigantic TV and film trade show, and cosplay is a tiny little part of it.
It's so strange to me with cosplay, because there is something on a psychological level so alluring and tempting to become some other person, you know? And at heart, like, I know sometimes people can say, oh, that's silly, why are you doing this? But at heart, it's the same compulsion that drives people to change their identities permanently. Or I don't talk very much about my personal life on this show, but I will confess something because it happened in the past. When I found out, I usually wear darker colored clothing. When I found out that I could take a piece of just 8.5 by 11 paper rolled up like this, stick it under the collar of my shirt and be wearing all black, then I started impersonating a priest on MARTA. And I'm sorry, it was great.
What did you do as a priest, though, on people our would come transportation?
Up, people would come up and talk to me.
You know what is an easy way around all this tomfoolery is just go online and get yourself a $25 minister's license, which I have.
I do, too.
I wear my collar out in public sometimes. And, dude, people want somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
As much of an atheist as I am, and I am a raging one, man, people want some sort of religious place to go and just dump all their junk onto.
I liked it better when you wore the eye patch.
Yeah, the eye patch is a different experiment.
I walked up to our after-work spot, and Ben was wearing an eye patch. And, you know, Ben's a little bit of an intense figure.
I'm a regular guy.
So I walk up, I go, hey, man, everything okay? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, okay. And I know when to back off. And so I backed off. And this other guy, unrelated to the original group, walked up and knows Ben. What's going on with the eye patch? Don't want to talk about it. And I was like, I really thought something was up. And then, like, later it turned out that he was just messing around with all
social
of us.
Social experiment.
Social experiment.
Yeah.
Just
see what these fools will do while I wear an eye patch and I don't want to talk about it.
I was one
see
of those
See the
fools.
Frenzy it causes.
I don't know about...
I'm with you, Ben.
Thanks, man. I don't know about fools, but yeah, it was... oh, gosh, man. Rocking an eye patch. I think it's disrespectful if your eyes work to do it permanently, you know? Because I was thinking, what if I run into someone who actually has Because you could tell a real eye patch versus a fake eye patch. A lot of the real ones are obviously medical devices, yes, and they've got gauze and stuff on them.
Yeah. You don't really see people walking around with the black eye patch with a strap on.
No, not so much.
Right, right. And so if I ran...
It's more of a fashion statement.
If I ran into that person, it would be like running into a genuine priest when I'm dressed as a priest. I would have to... I don't know if I would just turn tail and try to disappear, or if I would try to see if my BS skills were... accurate.
All you got to do is claim, you know, I'm an internet minister, and I saw people that might have needed to reach out, and so I slapped on my little collar.
Yeah.
Pull the Dave Chappelle thing, just because I'm dressed this way does not make me a priest.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm sorry. I've derailed us a little bit.
Let me reel it back.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
What if you ran into your clone?
If I ran into my clone? Yeah. I would love it. I would.
And the eye patch is the only one that tells us who the real is.
Yes,
that's what I would need to do. And it's interesting because when we talk about the science of cloning, there are actually some very dangerous problems with it. Clones, for some reason that we don't understand, tend to be much less healthy. Like Dolly the sheep, was just that. That poor lamb did not get a fair shake from the start.
Can you believe it's been since 1997 when Dolly the sheep was announced?
97?
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even realize that was last century. I figured that was definitely right past the 2000s. Wow.
How crazy is that?
Wow, it feels like we haven't gotten that far
then. That's the thing. Like, we really stopped after that, unless Ancestry.com has got warehouses full of us.
There are theories about human cloning centers that are all over the internet.
Sure.
And we've been written to many times asking us to cover these things.
Why are you not? You need a man in the field.
I think that's the problem. Yeah, we need somebody to go out there and try and infiltrate one of these things.
You need Lucky Yates. Hello. I'm a slightly successful voice actor. I want to clone myself. I don't want to get off this money train.
That's pretty good.
And the thing is, if we send a clone out, you know, it'll be a tragedy when something happens to them, but it'll be a tragedy we originals can all experience together.
The thing is when we get a clone of ourselves, first of all, they're going to be a baby, right? So it's like, who knows if this baby is even going to live past 6 months, and it's still just going to be a baby.
They don't come out fully formed?
No, we're not there yet.
We're not the Venture Brothers, where it's like we've got these tanks and beds and all that kind of stuff. It's like, no, we're going to have age acceleration is a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah.
It's the consciousness, really, that we got to get out of our bodies. Making more meat versions of ourselves is silly if we are this close to the singularity of melding with machinery.
Right, but would...
That's where I want to go.
But that's the question. Would it be just a copy of your consciousness? You know, it's like that old Theseus's ship, right? The old idea that if you slowly replace pieces of a ship over time...
It's still the same ship.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Because you're calling it whatever. Yeah, it's a completely different thing.
Would you be cool with that?
Yeah, sure, why not? As long as you've got, I mean, all we are is a bag of chemicals with memories, right? Which are chemically induced.
Sure, yeah.
So if you can keep those memories and keep building on them, which is the way, at least our understanding of how we work, sure, why not? It's just a different version of what we're already doing. It's just... And you're gooey if we get hit by a rock.
And you might not know. I mean, you would know, but it would be a relatively academic fact after that, where, you know, maybe in the future it would be a fun fact that you tell your friends at parties. You're like, you know, I used to be made out of, like,
weird meat.
Meat.
Yeah. I had a part of me had to be cut off because I mangled it when I fell off my bicycle, which who needs those anymore?
Did you guys ever read the comic that's available online? Mm. I think through Existential Comics. It was called The Machine, and it was all a thought experiment about this very thing with a teleportation machine, with every time you teleport, you die.
And another copy is created.
That's like in The Prestige.
Yeah.
Essentially the same thing. And in this story, I won't spoil it too much, but it's such a popular thing because you can teleport anywhere, and everyone's just doing it, and everyone is just... killing themselves and reconstituting themselves.
But do you pick up right? Like, is there even a blip in the mind of the clone that lets them know that they're a clone?
In subjective discontinuity, in subjective time, there probably wouldn't be, or ideally, there wouldn't be.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah,
over cocktails.
You sound so classy, yes.
Well, you know, it's just it's this kind of thing where when you've had a few beverages, you can really you go round and round with stuff like this for a while.
The problem with that is we all, I don't know about you guys, but I always thought that I sounded way smarter than I actually did. You know,
you usually sound about as smart as you are.
I'm going to choose to interpret that as a compliment.
As it was intended. As it was intended.
But encourage, let's say you could have a clone, right? Let's
okay.
Say you, they could sort of accelerate its age up to somewhere point. Would you want to have one around? Let's say like, oh no, my liver's failing. Thanks to our conversations about this very thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I need my spare part.
Ooh.
I would keep a me in a tank for spare parts.
Yeah.
If we couldn't make it to me being downloaded
in
into a
tank,
machine
though,
first?
You wouldn't even like hang.
Well, I don't want to. Do I want to be friends with them and then go like, by the way, I'm taking your liver.
Well,
and your heart.
Me, yeah.
You know.
Hey, thanks, other me. And then you start fighting about who deserves to live more. Does the original, who's failing, deserve to live more? Or does the improved clone deserve to live more, who knows everything?
I think we should just, I think the answer that a lot of people will find is maybe it's just easier to make organs. I don't know if it's more if more difficult or if it's easier, because you'd have to build an entire support system to impersonate the rest of the body for that liver. There'd have to be something like blood going through it.
Right.
But in theory, though, couldn't you do it like, you know, Chicken McNugget style, where it was all on an assembly line? You could just make dozens of livers.
Just print on demand?
Yeah, kind of. Not exactly
blood
like that.
Types and such. Just like,
you kind of have like a selection, you know? Like, I don't know.
Oh, man, I feel like that would be instantly used by nefarious billionaires. Did you guys read this study? Well, I don't know if it's a study. I'm not 100% on this, but there were rumors going around that people had discovered transfusions of blood from young mice into old mice improved their health. Like,
ooh.
Real life vampire.
Yeah,
vampirism.
Now we're talking.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a real thing now in Silicon Valley. On the TV show, it was there, but also in real life, of infusing young blood into old blood.
Into older blood. That's ridiculous, though. Aren't we constantly making new blood?
Right.
We're not just using the tank of blood we were born with.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't know. For how long? How long does this new attitude last when you got the new blood? Are you
sounds like a fad to me.
Full of vim and vigor for the rest of time, or does it after a week you're
just
like,
get
a
B12 shot? You know,
come on. That's what I was gonna say. I imagine it's like taking a vitamin supplement or something, where it just gets through you essentially.
Oh, then you're getting into that countess that bathed in
the blood
of the young women.
Bathory. Well, also, you know, it makes me wonder, what if it's just like 20 minutes? You know, that's
is it worth it?
Right.
Ah, thanks, college kid. Your life gave me 20 minutes of pure ecstasy.
Did you guys watch Silicon Valley this latest season?
No, this last season, no.
There's this whole thing based on this, where it's a guy who's just employed with a salary to sit there for 20 minutes and infuse blood. And it's based on
the Gavin Belson
thing.
Character?
Yeah, it's based on an actual...
Well, I can give you some of the background, you guys. So there's a this story got reported in MIT Technology Review. It is being offered as an anti-aging thing from a company called Ambrosia.
Dystopian.
Such a brilliant plot.
For $8,000 a pop, they will they will inject you I feel like all four of us are so creepy by calling it new blood, but that's what it is.
Young blood.
What's like that Radiohead song, "We Suck Young Blood"? You guys know that one?
They were prescient, weren't they?
They were.
The guy who started, Jesse Karmazin, said that within a month, most participants see improvements from the one-time infusion of a 2-liter bag full of plasma. So several scientists say his trial is so poorly designed it can't hope to provide evidence about the effects. Mm-hmm. And it was also a pay-to-participate study that collected $4.8 million from the participants.
That many people lined up at $8,000 a pop.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want to see how this shakes out. A lot of people are saying that, a lot of other experts are skeptical to say the least. But I have to ask, if we assume it worked, like if somehow it worked, which biologically at this point doesn't make sense.
Right.
But if it worked, what would be the point where you would not do it? You know, would it have to be like the time span is not enough? Would someone have to die? Would you be taking all of someone's blood and then living a more healthy, virile
It just strikes me as such a bougie, thoughtless thing to do in the first place. We know blood donation centers are always in short supply.
Yeah,
not enough people donate blood. And we're just like scooping up all the blood that like dying children need.
Yeah, so I can
I can feel good, get a little pep in my step. No.
But imagine,
terrible.
Imagine if you could make a living, like an actual living and pay rent just by giving your blood away to these ultra rich humans. Would you do that?
But wouldn't you feel terrible all the time?
So you'd just be a blood bag, that's like Mad Max and
Fury Road.
Yeah, you would literally be someone. No, that's a terrible life.
That's not a life. That's not a life.
That's cool, though. You could play some PlayStation while you do it.
Just be anemic all the time. Like, I don't know.
About to pass out.
Just gotta lay down.
You just have
like orange juice and a cookie.
A cookie.
Yeah, orange juice, cookie, and an Oculus Rift, and you're good to go.
No. What a terrible stop it, rich people. It's awful.
All right, I'll admit, though.
I don't even really want a clone. I just like the idea of it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
If I ran into another me at the mall, it would be the best.
It'd be cool. Like, hopefully, if they had similar personalities, which we don't know if they would.
We don't know. Right. There's the one, there's this one farmer that had a beloved bull, and this bull would come in and out of their house all the time, and the bull finally died, and they went to, like, Korea to have this thing cloned. And it came and it started out like, oh, it's just like old Reb or whatever the bull's name is. And then the bull turned on them.
Of course.
Yes, because, clones are evil.
Clearly, they've never seen science fiction films.
Yeah, and so the bull became this horrible, crazy, rampaging bull that they had to put down.
They should have been able to tell with the mustache and all.
And the eye patch. Also, don't let bulls in the house. That is a bad idea.
Rule number one.
Yeah.
You got a bull. Yeah. Keep it in the bull yard.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what people tell me on my first day. Told me on my first day starting here.
Should we take a quick stop, hop off the bull, and take a sponsor break, and then hop back on?
Sounds great.
And ride.
So now, our sojourn finds us arriving at something that Matt Noel and I had talked about a lot off air, which was our earlier interview about Disclosure with Stephen Greer, Aliens. And this is one of the things you had mentioned off air too.
Right? I wanted to bring that up earlier and tie it into something we mentioned, this idea of being watched by some omnipotent force, and the idea that they're sort of watching us screw up our lives and our planet and our society. And we talked in the interview about if these are extra dimensional creatures.
Sure.
Do they have some purpose in interacting with us? Like, are they here to help us? Are they waiting to watch us burn ourselves to the ground so they can swoop in and do something with what we leave behind? I don't know. I think that was one of my favorite parts of that discussion. Actually.
Yeah. I'm always terrified with the, quietly terrified, I would think. A very, like, repressed British kind of terrified when I think about the physicist who, say, Stephen Hawking is one famous example, but the physicist who say, we don't want to meet extraterrestrials. Why would they come all this way if they were traveling, you know, according to the dimensional rules we understand? And more, even more disturbing, what if there are other civilizations, other sentient intelligent beings that can hear all the signals we're trying to put out, and they're just not responding.
Yeah, maybe they're just like, no way.
Yeah.
They don't want to have those dumb apes.
Train wreck.
Yeah, or maybe they're hiding. Maybe they're hiding. Maybe we're collectively, our species is that idiot in the horror movie who's like, hey guys, I heard something weird in this house.
Yeah, I better go down there.
I'll be right
back. I'm gonna go down this cellar.
Oh, now that we're inside, let's run up the stairs.
See, I think we're just more in our infancy. If there are other intelligent species.
Yeah. Oh, great. We're a wailing baby.
I mean, we really are.
Yeah, no, humans? Yeah, we're nothing compared to the lifespan of a planet. I mean, we're in the middle of, what, how many times has there been a mass extinction?
Six.
Five, six?
Yeah, we're in
six
the
of them.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of the sixth one right now.
Mm-hmm. I think we're due.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, so five times before, everything has been wiped out. And so we're just the leaders at this one. Like, we had not been on this planet for that long as a species. I'm going to say evolution because that's how it works. Mm-hmm. You know, we've evolved during just this small amount of time. Great, we had thumbs and big brain cavities. But my question to all that is that maybe there are, and maybe, you know, they're watching us and all that kind of stuff and don't want to have anything to do with us. Or our planet set up, maybe species can't evolve to such a state to even make it off a planet. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
maybe the universal laws or whatever, just like, why would we ever want to infect other places with you? But I don't know.
I mean, that's a great question.
The Earth is like an organism, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. You know, and every creature on it is another organism that is fighting for its space and all that kind of stuff. And humans are really running wild mm-hmm. on ours. And, you know, at some point we're going to throw good numbers of ourselves off one way or the other. And maybe that's just how life works in the universe, is that we can only get so far. Any species can only get so mm-hmm. far before they just burn themselves out or throw themselves off the planet because they get too smart for their own good. Yeah.
I really like that you pointed that out, because the one of the things that we had explored in the past, which is bothers people on an existential level, is just what you said. It's a massive, I guess I could say, it's a massive pain in the ass. I can say on the air, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll allow it.
I think we've loosened the reins a little
bit. Oh, that's true. From the Mars interview. I forgot about that. Yes. But the point is, you know, it's a massive pain to take anything that's specifically adapted to living in this larger organism, recreate its environment, in a sustainable way, and then just put it out in glorified, I mean, the best we can do, but a glorified container, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And then say, okay, let's just keep playing this lottery until we can build something larger and semi-sustainable. It seems like the future of space exploration is going to belong to whatever new life form humanity creates.
Yes.
So we're not the protagonist, really. We're like the
we're the builders.
Yeah, or the, like, that's the midwives or something.
Yeah. We were the result. And you know, there's, of course, the theories that the life on this planet evolved from comets and things smashing into it because somewhere else there were these organisms on the microscopic level that attached to the various comets and whatnot mm-hmm. and got here. And then, boom, life happened. And so, you know, if we really want to get off planet, I say we just start, you know,
shooting microbes.
Yeah, put our personal microbes on some rocks and shoot them into space and hope for the best. Get some spermatozoa and some eggs on these rocks and mm-hmm. get them out there. Chuck Forget them. Trying to put a man. Why would we try to put humans on Mars where they're just going to get bombarded with radiations and mm-hmm. nightmare scenarios that they'll never survive?
Is it because we just want to have one guy or one lady who can one-up Buzz Aldrin in a conversation later?
Well, I had a baby on Mars. What did you do, Buzz Aldrin?
Yeah.
That was one of the most fascinating things from the Mars episode, the What's idea that? Of procreating on Mars and how long it will take to figure out if that's even possible.
That was a thing, too. I mean, it's so, like, completely unsustainable. Was I think they could take 100 people at a time, and their goal is to get a million people?
Uh-huh. Crazy. Eventually.
Come on, man. And they were saying by the time that everyone got there, there'd be a whole new generation of kids that had been born there.
We work the way we work because we grew up on this planet, right. Not on some other planet.
But one thing that came up in the interview was with Marshall was I brought up the idea, would we evolve differently on Mars versus
Absolutely
on Earth?
Absolutely we
and
would.
I think so, too.
Who really figured this stuff out was the first Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger, whereas immediately, like, true Martians became mutants of these weird because they were just growing up in this completely different environment than Earth is. And so we started sending people there and they started breeding. And then you got Quato.
Yeah.
Man's chest.
Have you seen the video where it's that, but he's singing Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel? It's so awesome. Everybody look that up immediately.
And again, to go with Hawking. Yeah. Why would we want to meet? So let's say some species was brilliant enough to make its way off the planet or slip in between dimensions and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And they're here and they're watching us, who are total morons. Like, with the humans do not have it figured out, or else the world would be in a very nice state right now where everybody would be working harmoniously with one another. We are absolutely not in that state.
No.
But they're going to be so much further advanced. why would they come here for anything other than resources? And if that's what they're here for, unless we're the resource they need, mm-hmm. then we'd be getting loaded onto ships that just wipe us out and take whatever they were here for, the unobtainium.
It's like that. There was a Twilight Zone episode where the aliens wanted to take us all to their planet, and everyone was super stoked about it, right?
Yeah.
And then ends up
it's a cookbook!
Oh, I love that episode.
That's great.
That show is so great. They created like every twisty sci-fi trope.
Rod Serling.
It's in that show, man.
Rod Serling
my
was
hero.
The best. Night Gallery gets even weirder.
You have a quote, Krieger has a quote in the show about superior anal technology with the aliens, and that's why he was so fascinated by abductions and aliens.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And,
they could tell so much just by probing our butts.
That's one of the strangest and funniest things to come out of pop culture around abductions and aliens and all that.
Yeah.
I just...
why is it always an anal probe? Why are they?
Yeah.
Does anyone even know?
Siphoning so much information out of our butts.
What's ground zero for anal probe alien tropes? Like, was it the Twilight Zone?
No, I don't think
it was. I know it wasn't, but who was it?
During the collective, there was some real fads of suddenly there were all these abductees that were coming forward, right? And so, like,
I
think one abductee probably brought it up, and then other abductees, air quotes,
we're like,
started jumping on this same, that happened to me too. And then, of course, because it's the funniest thing that could happen, is that you would go on this ship and the aliens would start sticking things in your butt. Mm. That's the one that people, because we are still just poo-throwing monkeys. After
absolutely.
All,
and guys. I don't not believe in the concept of abductions. I just don't think we have enough information. I'm not like fully on board, but I have the same attitude towards that as I do about like the existence of, a greater deity
question. If aliens were coming here and abducting us, why would they put us back? Why wouldn't they just take us, take a person, go off, do all their experiments, and then discard? For ethical reasons? Bringing us back and putting us back in our room at night with sort of fuzzy memories of what happened? Like, what's the point of throwing us back?
Maybe they have really high-level morals in their
then
society.
Then they would ask us permission and have a booth. At the,
you sign up
at college campuses.
At the alien fair, where you would go and see, like, I'm going to go with this experiment that I want the aliens to figure out about us.
You'd get a small amount of money. And
why would they ever bring us back?
A stipend, at least.
Like, we had all these extra steps so that they're nice to us in the end.
They're
awful, but they're nice.
Well, there's also the possibility that abductions occur, but the cause is misattributed, because we know memory is treacherous, right? One thing I thought was interesting about these alien abduction stories is if you look at them plot point for plot point, they're very, very similar to the old tropes of people being visited by changelings or fairies, So I think there's a larger phenomenon or experience or something in the zeitgeist, but I think it's also – it's also just very it's easy to attribute a specific cause with a lack of transparency, but if we don't know, then we can just say what is more likely, what is less likely. And I love the point you're making about why would it be catch and release? I mean? Because what is this?
They're
a nature
preserve? Just take us.
Yeah.
Do with what you will. There's a whole space is endless.
Yeah.
As far as we know, just chuck our bodies out when you're done with us. I will say this, though, and this bleeds into not only what we're talking about, but also my theory on ghosts, which is dimensional echoes, right?
Okay.
So we could be, the theories say that we live in this multidimensional system where, and let's say dimensions rub up against each other. That's what I think ghosts, because I wish more than anybody that ghosts, spooky ghosts would be flying around all over the place. God, I want that to be real.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is, but I've lived in a house that other tenants have claimed was haunted, and they heard a lot of things, and every once in a while you would see a weird shadow walk by that you didn't. But I think things like that are just like, maybe there's a dimensional echo, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes the strings or whatever get a little close to each other, and so there's some bleed in between dimensions, and maybe abductees are sleeping they see this guy. Some other dimensional thing will rub up against, and they can perceive it. And they don't know what to make of it, and so they create this already in the pop culture mindset are these alien abductions. And so it must have been that as opposed to this other thing that I can't even possibly begin to explain.
Wow.
I don't know.
Did you ever have any personal experiences while you were there?
The only seeing out of the corner, like me and some buds, granted, we were in our 20s, all stoners beyond belief, and, you know, up at all hours, just being ridiculous. But we would all be sitting there, like, either watching TV or something, and you'd see something walk by a door. We had these big French doors, and you'd see something, and everybody in the room would turn and look, you know, at the same time, like, what was that?
Whoa.
And it would be like, whoa, what just happened? And one of my very best friends on the planet, and also a big skeptic, was left in the house at one point during the holiday season. Everybody left, and he heard like a full-on party going on upstairs, and he was alone in the house, and he was freaked out. Like, he like left the house. He couldn't take it anymore. And the guy, one of our buddies, who his grandmother had originally owned the house, and apparently there was a lot of entertaining that went on during the holidays and all that kind of stuff. And that's when I was like, well, maybe these are just some sort of echoes of those old times and stuff that somehow, I don't know.
So not a conscience, not a conscious thing, so just a another experience. So,
I've told this story on the podcast before, and I'm just going to tell the quick version. But when I was a kid, a girl I was dating, a dear friend of hers died in a car accident, and I got into her car, my girlfriend at the time, she was finished class and it was like really cold. I got in and she was like crying and I'm like, what's up? And she blows on the inside of her car windshield and the girl who died was her signature's there, clear as day. And in my mind at that moment, I was like, ghosts, ghosts are real. This is a definite thing. This is, and you got really emotional and I felt like a sense of this thing. Yeah. But I know now that it was totally like the kind of thing a girlfriend would do, you know, like in their early 20s or whatever, write your name in in your breath or whatever, and you got residue on your fingers.
It's still there.
So it's oil. Like, yeah, exactly. But like in that moment, though, I was just like, done.
Yeah.
I'm in, you know? And it was like, and I didn't even have to explain it away. It just kind of like fizzled over time where I realized, oh, I was kind of like really taken in by the moment, but like this is really what was happening. And it was kind of disappointing. You know,
our meaty brains want an answer. And a lot of times there just aren't ones that we can perceive. Right. And so we come up with ghosts.
Yeah. Well, and here's where we get into something very similar, where the human mind is just trying to make sense of something that we don't understand.
Right.
And we call it a lot of times magic.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. I'll buy it. Magic.
Yeah, magic. Well, it's something that comes up here all the time because we discuss how technology, if it's advanced enough, it seems to be magic to us.
Right.
Simply because we can't explain it.
Yeah.
I cannot explain.
Yeah, as far as I know, there's a little wizard that lives inside my laptop that makes it happen. As far as I know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
What's that Arthur C. Clarke quote?
Yeah, that's what we were just like. Yeah. Technology past a certain point is indistinguishable from magic. I'm paraphrasing.
Apparently that comes up hardcore in the new Transformers movie.
I think it's in the first four movie, too.
Yeah. So there's this idea, right?
Sure.
But then there are other human beings throughout history who have tried to make use of a more, I don't want to say conventional magic, but spell casting and actually writing things down. And
Yeah. The focus your mind on this one sort of subject or outcome that you want, and somehow you are making the universe respond to your constant thought processes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to buy into that stuff too, but then it becomes, how can I possibly, my little chemical thing going on in my brain, have any influence whatsoever on the physical world around me? How? Unless I do. So like,
unless you're influencing yourself in some way.
Yeah, unless it's like weaponized psychology, which is a phrase somebody used that I thought was,
that's a great phrase.
Was cool. Yeah. But it's, it's true. There are certain things that no matter how much you focus your attention or what how ardent a fan of the secret you are, you can look like hundreds of people got together in the 60s and tried to lift the White House with their minds.
Yeah.
It's still on the ground, you know.
Was it the Pentagon?
Was it the Pentagon?
I think it was the Pentagon.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Sorry about that.
They should have tried to lift a bike first. Like, let's start with a bicycle before we move to the White House, which is a giant building full of people. Very heavy.
So what?
It has an extensive basement, I was just going to say.
That's true. With a bowling alley in it.
So maybe if we got a couple hundred people and like a toddler's bike.
Yeah.
Start.
What a ping pong ball. Try to lift that up first. Hundreds of people. We're going to put it right in the middle of this field. You make a circle around it. Just lift this ping pong ball up.
What are you guys doing next Saturday?
Hopefully lifting a ping pong ball with my mind.
I'd rather just play some ping pong. Can't we just keep it simple?
I think we can.
I'm a basic.
I think we can do this all in one afternoon. We just have to multitask. You know what I mean?
We could take the ping pong balls from the ping pong game that will satisfy me and then try to lift them with our minds.
Or we could see if someone could try to, like, tilt the ping pong game in your favor.
Yeah, there you go.
Because that's what people would do if they had small amounts of telekinesis, right? You'd be in Vegas playing craps because you'd never lose.
Don't you ever feel that urge, though, just to, like, think real hard at something and make it do a thing?
I try to do that all the time.
It doesn't work.
But it's like you're telling, like, telekinesis and all that stuff is magic, essentially. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where all these words, all these, you know, different things, it's all the same crap. It's just like you want something to happen that really can't. But so you're going to make this thing called magic make it work.
We just haven't harnessed the strings yet.
In some cases, practices that would have been considered magical in the modern day did produce important results. Like alchemists, when they were predecessors of chemists, discovered a lot of stuff. Some of it, it turned out later, came back to bite us, like pesticides. But at the time, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely see that edge of it. I have a proposition for you guys that ties into this a little bit. So one of the big psychic powers, which I would also classify with magic, that people will typically talk about in fiction or sometimes claim they experience, is what's called psychometry, the idea that by touching a physical object, someone with this gift would somehow know what happened, right?
Yeah.
So like, Lucky is... Lucky is like in somebody's kitchen and he picks up a knife and then he just all of a sudden knows that it was used as a murder weapon and he's still got to like hang out and be cool with whomever the killer is for a second.
That's how it happens.
But now I think it's plausible or well, possible that we as a species could arrive at a situation where technology or the Internet of Things, which that was used to be a really popular phrase, where it enables that kind of psychometry. Well, there was a product that came out and there are probably several of these called Tile. And all the idea was for like people who lose things. And for a lot of people, this is a convenient thing. And what it means is that not only will you never not know where an object that is tagged is, but eventually that same technology could get us to a point where, you know, this cup also has a story that it can tell that you can pick up just by touching it or just running your phone over it.
That's pretty interesting.
What, by like seeing the trees and what? Not that it came from?
Like, who knows?
I don't know. What kind of story am I going to get from my cup?
Yeah, when it gets documented first, like a cup is not the best. I mean, honestly, it's not the best example. But yeah, if they like made the cup and then they tagged the cup.
You can see all the people that have held the cup.
That's
all done with the cup. Right. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I think that's possible. But also I would ask if that ever happened, would you want that? Would you want to participate in that society?
I mean, unless it's just another distraction to keep us from the horrors of us destroying ourselves. I mean, like, so what's the point of knowing your cup's story?
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the point? Even though it's just because we can do it.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's the,
historically, you know. That's something that we've often said as a life form. We've often been like, hey, you know this thing we could do? And someone's like, oh my, we can do that thing? Like, yeah. Like, well, let's go into the desert and blow up an atom bomb.
Yeah, let's go do it.
let's go do the thing.
Well, that's our curse, right, of humanity. Like, we're fearless and curious at the same time. We don't care if it's going to wipe out a bunch of ourselves in order to find something. Man, if we think of something, we're going to have to do it. Yeah. We're not going to stop until we do it. That's just the human way.
Got to make sure we can.
Yeah.
So you were into magic at some point, or you just were interested?
I just love the idea of magic itself. Also because, you know, every religion in the world is based on the idea of a giant magical being. and who, you know, has other magical henchmen that seem to no longer really be working out there in the field, but it's all magic-based, you know what I mean? And it's like, it has such a grasp on humanity, the concept of magic, even though it's weird bringing up religions, is that when you introduce that word to somebody when discussing, you know, I'm an atheist, and so, but if I'm discussing somebody who has a religious background, like my parents, let's say, if you bring up the word magic, they flip out. Yeah. But then when you explain, but here's what you're saying, and there's no other way to describe what you're saying other than using magic. And
which is ironic, considering that a lot of hardcore Christians think any magic that doesn't isn't involved in their religion is evil and witchcraft,
satanic
in some way.
It's like the magic in my book, but they don't acknowledge the only magic.
That's totally
Harry Potter magic.
Mm,
it's oh my god, that's Satan's work.
And it's not just Christianity. To be
fair.
It's very absolutely.
Yeah,
and I mean, then it goes to humans being just very tribal, and we've got to have our group is the right group and not your group. Let's wipe each other out so that our ideas are the ones that survive.
And it's a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
Ben, I'm so jealous of you having been able to see, saw Ricky Gervais debate.
Oh, yeah.
Or defend his atheism to Stephen Colbert, who is a devout Catholic.
Yeah.
And he had the coolest line. It was believe in one less God than you.
Yeah, he's like, there's what, 3,000 gods in the working canon of humanity right now. I just don't believe in one more than you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't believe in 2,999 gods. I just believe don't believe in 3,000 of them.
And I thought that was a great point.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. You know.
You know, if we want to get into religion, I don't know how many cards and letters you want to receive.
Well, we just, at this point, would like to remind everyone that we will never tell you what to believe.
No.
Hey,
what gets
all.
You through your day? Great. Just as long as it's not causing you to do harm upon others. That's the way I see it.
I think we can all agree with that.
Yeah, if it gets through your day and all your beliefs and you rock it, man, do it. Go for it. Happy for you. But, you know, I don't think that. Same.
Well, I'm not a big believer personally in proselytizing. So I don't think it's. We say it on the show because it's something that we practice in our real lives. We're not going to go out and tell people what to think or what to do.
No.
But it's okay to say, you know, I'm not going to tell you not to attempt to launch yourself out of a cannon without training.
Right.
But say, well, you should know the odds of you being injured are much higher than the odds of you, you know, pulling off this cool trick. I mean, the person you're trying to impress might date you, but they'll be dating you in the burn ward for a while. Mm. Best case scenario. I think that's absolutely fine. I appreciate that you said whatever it takes to get you through your day. So whatever gets you through your day. We know that we live in the West, at least, an increasingly secularizing society.
Yes.
Right. And, we also know that people are shedding some of the old taboos that once existed, social taboos, I mean,
right?
And one of the biggest cases of stuff they don't want you to know that we get since this show began would be people asking us about marijuana legalization.
Specifically cannabis and hemp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We found various different and surprising historical anecdotes. You know, marijuana was not always the villain that it became.
Oh, of course not.
You know, so we wanted to ask, you know, what do you think about the current movement, which is state by state, and kind of contradicting the federal government stance? What do you think about the current movement toward legalization?
Well, I'm all for it because I'm a huge pothead.
Still?
What do you mean still?
You said it was in your 20s.
No, that was my old drinking days. And then, well, in my 20s, I did. I left pot for a while. And I became a real good drunk. no, fun drunk, though. I never got bad or anything like that. But eventually alcohol turned on me. And I turned back to pot. And I went, you know, I'm a guy with, like many artists, I got a lot of neurotic hang-ups and such. And my entire life, I've always, you know, been a panicky type and was taking Paxil and all kinds of everything all day long, you know, having to pop pills every day just to keep me grounded. And man, then weed came back into my life and completely changed the game for me. Like, I just put me at ease with things I had never been at ease at before, gave me perspective on things that, and, you know, it, and it was different than it was in my 20s, my experience with pot in the 20s, which was, you know, I mean, I'm in my 20s, so I'm just looking to party, 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 mm-hmm. party, as opposed to this thing that I'm discovering, like, not only does it open me up to talk more about ideas and see things from a different perspective than I had before. I think maybe age has something to do with that too, but it also, I don't have to pop Paxil every day anymore because this has completely like mellowed out my whole panicky situation that I was always in the middle of into like being able to cope with things on a much more adult and responsible level than I had been, which I was just reactionary before.
Mm. And we've done episodes on Big Pharma, and obviously a pretty significant, and just about anybody just observing could argue, roadblock to wide-scale, you know, large-scale legalization is...
Well, that's the whole
they
thing.
They want people popping the Paxil.
Right.
They want you to
thing.
Pop the Paxil.
That's exactly correct. The problem with pot is that it's too perfect, and it grows wild. And giant corporations can't control that so much.
You can't, like, copyright it. You know?
Right. This is, again, goes back to the Mars thing. Like, you can't throw capitalism up there because it's just going to destroy itself really fast. Like, if as soon as you throw the idea of, like, who's going to make more money up here, then it just ruins everything. Like, so, yeah, I'm all for pot. You know, I also want to keep, you know, the big corporations out of it just because it is a crop and not, you know.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, Lucky. Do you live in Atlanta?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And I smoke pot every day.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is illegal in
this
state.
That's the thing.
But you think that that is what makes it hard to get a hold of? That's the other thing is that, look, every other state, including mine own, every state that doesn't have legality, it's out there, and it's the easiest thing in the world. It's easier for me to buy weed than it is for me to buy alcohol, and I'm 50 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I got 100 guys that I know that I can get some weed off of. I got to drive to a liquor store. I have to know where one of those is. I got guys that'll deliver marijuana to me.
And oh, that's true. Alcohol delivery isn't a thing yet.
Not
yet. Not yet.
They're working on it.
They're probably working
they
on it.
They are working on it.
But it's weird because it ties into some of the blue law things, right? Where and those are especially common in the South. We used to talk about the case for legalization, whether it's decriminalization or full recreational legalization. When Colorado massively boosted their tax revenue and the state ran out of weed to sell.
Nevada is currently out of
weed.
That's
what I saw. There's a shortage.
Just this month became like they opened up their dispensaries and they're out of pot because it became so everybody smoking weed except the guys in the big offices that are telling us not to smoke weed.
Well, they might be smoking too. Well. What's that old line about prohibition? It's like people will vote for prohibition as long as they can still stumble to the poll.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing, yeah. Prohibition does nothing but create crime. That's where the crime comes in, is the prohibition.
Mm.
As soon as it's legalized and regulated, then there's no problem anymore.
It certainly feels like we're on the road to decriminalize, at least in a lot of places.
I think the country is, yeah.
I would gladly walk to a dispensary and pay more than I currently pay on the black market, knowing that the more that I'm paying is going to fund better schools for my state. Are you kidding me? I'll absolutely throw in on that.
Look at the numbers, though. It's absurd how much money it makes.
Yeah.
And when it's used, you know, it's done in these more progressive states, they use it well.
Well,
you know,
and
it's like you can pay for infrastructure.
We're
you can
already
pay for
doing
schools.
That in Georgia with the lottery, which is just legalized gambling.
Right.
You know, we won't call it that ever because we're not a gamble state, but that's all that is, and it goes to our schools.
Well, in theory, it goes to our schools.
In theory, scholarships and such,
kind of
a little bit.
But, who knows?
But so again, good chance to start afresh with marijuana legalization. Of like, then you pass legislation that earmarks that product, and it has to go there, or else this whole thing is done.
What's really standing in the way, though? Obviously, politicians are a big part of it. You've got these.
I think the old generation of fear. There's a lot of fear from because you know a lot of people that
is it fear about
adults.
Like losing their influence and their cronies in big pharma.
I think it's a voter base, right? It's the type of thing that You know, my parents, I don't think, would ever vote for legalization, even though they have two sons that are chronic marijuana smokers. I think it's because they were adults during the Nixon years when he convinced them what an awful, terrible thing this was.
Right.
And that's what they still have in their mind. The myth is still very much alive of what marijuana is. And, you know, it's a boogeyman that, like, oh, they're going to start doing other drugs.
Like the Reefer Madness thing?
Zero, zero want to do cocaine, LSD, any of the other drugs. And I'm a huge pothead. But I'm a huge pothead because I love pot. That doesn't make me want to do, like, let's throw my body into another weird state that I might not be able to control. I know how I am on weed, and I'm the best me when I'm on weed. If I get on LSD, God knows what's going to happen. I don't want to go down that road.
Yeah, that's the thing. It reminds me of the little PSAs where someone talks to their drug dealer, and they're like, hey, do you have any marijuana? I'm like, no, I'm out of marijuana. Try this heroin. No one would ever do that.
Yeah.
No one's ever gone.
Well, it is a drug.
It is.
Thanks to Nixon. Tricks. Well, yeah. It goes back farther than that.
No, I mean the heroin is a
class
drug.
A. Yeah. I'll tell you what. Back in my drinking days, drinking makes you want to fight. It makes you want to argue. And then it also loosens your inhibitions enough that you want to start throwing punches. I have never, not once, while being high on the marijuana, have ever wanted to do anything but sit down and discuss normally cool topics. It never wanted to throw a punch. It never made me want to go do something stupid that I wouldn't have done had I not been stoned. But that's all alcohol does, is it makes you do the dumbest crap and gets you into nothing but trouble. Plus, you feel like crap the next day. And, man, there's no such thing as a weed hangover because I've pushed it to the limits, and boy, I'll tell you, I've never woken up the next day going, oh, man, shouldn't have done that last bong rip.
I'll tell you what, I'm turning 34 pretty soon, and I had just a little bit to drink the other day.
Yeah, nightmare.
Felt so bad.
And that's why I stopped drinking, is that my love of alcohol did not end. Alcohol's love of me ended. It became a one-way relationship instead of a two-way.
Mm.
And I know when I'm not wanted anymore, so I took my belongings out of Sweet Lady Booze's apartment, and there was Mary Jane waiting for me on the street corner.
Oh, man. Serial monogamous.
Took me right into her green embrace, and I shall never go back.
Well, one thing I'm finding interesting about these conversations is that more and more people seem to be, regardless of whether or not they personally use weed in any form, typically more and more people seem to be saying, well, what's the big deal?
Yeah,
like,
who cares?
When's the last time that a crime related to the nature of this substance, not to the law surrounding it, but to the inherent nature of the substance, when's the last time that caused a crime?
Yeah, never. Right? Everybody currently in our society, let's just say the United States, everybody who wants to smoke weed right now is already smoking weed. The illegality of it isn't stopping anybody because it's so easy to get. So, and the problem is now it's so easy to get that if high schoolers want to smoke weed, they can go get it. If it's made legal and regulated, suddenly that becomes a little more difficult because then they got to get a guy to go into a store to pick some up,
right,
and then give that back to the kid on the outside.
Nobody
and
wants
that
to
becomes
do that.
Weird.
Super
well,
weird.
It's like, you know, hanging out outside the 7-Eleven trying to get some older guy to buy you a beer.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to mess up at some point.
But it's not going to knock the black market out entirely.
It won't, but it'll put a good step in there in the middle that's going to screw up your game.
It's weird to think about. If it does become legal, imagine buying bootleg alcohol off of somebody, like on the street.
Sure.
When you could just go into a liquor store and get some alcohol. Or there's a guy that you know that has some, he calls it gin.
Fast still. Right? Yeah. Guy's running a still.
Fast Jimmy with the still.
That is really interesting. I wonder how that would affect the black market.
Well, that still does happen because this would be heavily taxed. And so even after Prohibition, there were people who kept like corn mash stills. We're going all the way back around. Corn mash stills to avoid paying any kind of tax
right,
on it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that'll still happen where people will be
FXX.
Growing. And so let's say it's legal, and then it becomes like, well, where is your farming license in order to farm this now? It's a crop. You can't sell corn to people on the street just from your growing in your backyard, technically. You shouldn't be able to grow this other crop because we don't know what you're doing with it, and it's a regulated thing. Mm. People are always going to grow their own. We have to now out of necessity. So that's, you know, and there's a huge industry on grow your own. You know what I mean? Hydroponic kits and all that kind of stuff, a huge industry in town. The only thing we're not allowed to do is put a seed in the ground and wait for it to grow up into a grow and then take a flower off and put it in our bodies.
That's the part that's always weirded me out, too. It's like you've got these like research chemicals, they call them, like lab chemicals that are legal for a time because they're so new, right? Like, let's talk about like the bath salts epidemic. Remember that?
Yeah.
Where it like, you know, some of that was debunked, but it was like a really potent, like, amphetamine, more or less, that was causing people to do pretty crazy, violent stuff in, like, total dissociative properties, right?
Yeah.
But again, that stuff, it was legal when they were doing it. And then, you know, and then the DA catches up, figures it out, makes it illegal. But things are moving so fast with, like, researchers that kind of come up with these byproducts from whatever they're doing, I guess, and then figure, oh, someone figures out they can market it as some kind of, like, a quick high or whatever.
A designer drug.
Yeah.
Look at the opioid issue we have in this country. Like,
that's,
you know,
an episode
the big pharma has people hooked on basically heroin in the form of a pill that came to them in, you know, as a pain pill to deal with their pain.
And they're getting
we
sued
could do it
for under, like, downplaying it to doctors.
Yes, right.
Like, literally, the corporations are saying to doctors, that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Pass it out.
It's perfectly legal, yet if you grow, it completely just grows wild. We never did anything to it. I mean, we have now. But, again, we've just made other pretty flowers that have crazier effects than they used to. But, man.
I have I have two fun facts about marijuana. One, in Bhutan, the very small Himalayan kingdom, it grows wild in the ditches. And it's legal if the people want to smoke it. But they don't. They feed it to the pigs. So it may have the most relaxed pigs on the planet.
Yeah, their pork is probably delicious. I was like, oh, my God. The pig is so not traumatized by any of its life. This is the most amazing pork burrito I've ever had.
Zero cortisol.
And the second one is that apparently marijuana is technically legal in North Korea. Whoa. Which you wouldn't expect from such a totalitarian regime.
No.
But apparently that's the one that's...
Wow.
I don't know what kind of day, you know, Kim Il-sung or Kim Jong-un was having when somebody came to him, and maybe it was like later in the afternoon on a Friday, and they were like, hey, so we shot the people that you wanted to shot, and where are we at with the weed? And he's like, I don't know, man. Just let him
smoke.
Let him do it.
Is it on their list of grasses that the citizens are they suggest to citizens that they eat because there's no food?
Oh, that's a great question. I do not know. And it is sad that is there is a
North widespread. Korea. What a great country that is. Weed being legal or not,
but even the DPRK, even North Korea,
they'll let you pop.
Said that.
Yeah. So Kim Jong-un will let you do it.
Yeah.
Why can't we?
And so
you know that dude's smoking. Look at that haircut. I mean, he's a wild and crazy guy.
Yeah, I'm sure that what's his name? The basketball Dennis.
Oh, yeah,
Rodman isn't just showing up with autographed photographs.
Exactly.
I'm sure he's bringing all kinds of sweet
weed.
He's
the ambassador of
weed,
man.
Oh, I'm sure he's bringing all kinds of sweet weed. Come on, man. At least seeds.
So we see again what's happening is that legislation is typically outpaced by social evolution and technology. So is this an artifact of a different time, these sorts of laws? And if so, what is the future? What do you guys think? Is it eventually going to be nationwide?
Totally.
I think it will. And it's going to be like everything. It's going to be the dollars that speak the loudest, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to realize that, oh, my God, look at the tax revenue we can get if we just legalize this damn plant that has never been a problem. And they all smoke it anyway in Washington. So Washington, D.C., it's legal.
It's
the very city that makes the laws, and there's no problems. They're not experiencing gang violence because of pot.
Those maniacs.
Nah, yeah. So, you know, it's a this breed of, you know, the old Nixon era and everything, yeah. they just have to die out. Or at the time of them dying out. Now, if humanity can make it past this next 3.5 years, to where we'll be a more enlightened creature, hopefully, on the other side, then maybe it'll all drop. I really thought that was, should have been, not to get into politics, but that should have been Obama's final thing. It's just going like, and it's legal and I'm out of here so I can go puff a dube on Hawaii.
Yeah, because typically, regardless of their specific ideology, that is the part where whomever is the president at the very end, they're like, I'm going to pardon everybody. We're popping bottles.
Yeah.
You know what's legal now? If you want to touch a buffalo inappropriately, go for it.
Yeah,
I'm out.
And like, it would be like three guys like, all right!
They're like, you know, I didn't like him the first 3 years and 11 months, but he really came through on that buffalo front.
Man, I've been looking at a little buffalo sitting out there in that field for quite some time.
Hey, Terry, you hear about them Buffalo Proclamation?
Oh, man, why does he have to have a southern accent?
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. That was a genuine Montana accent, I will point out.
Oh, man. You know, Matt,
Montanese.
I bow to your knowledge of Montanese. And, speaking of endings, I think, unfortunately, it's going to be time for us to end the episode, but not the show. We would like to, first off, tell people where you can find and hear more from the illustrious Lucky Yates.
Basically on Twitter or Instagram. Follow me at Lucky Yates, LuckyYates. Both Y's are present. And find me locally if you're here in the Atlanta area at Dad's Garage Theater. Performing the improvised comedy.
That is a fun spot.
Can you give us an update on the building situation and stuff going on?
What do you mean, that building that we own? The church?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've converted a church, and we're always looking, of course, for funding to build on so that we can build, like, our scenic guy, a shop, so we can make our sets not 30 miles away. Come on down to Dad's. You can always volunteer if you want to get to know the place. He shows for free. And then, you know, it's fun. We're a big comedy house in town.
I had a wonderful experience there. I saw Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He taught like a master, like a sketch writing class, I would say. And then he did stand-up opening for the kids or the folks that he taught that did their sketches they wrote. And then closed the show just answering any and all questions the audience had about Kids in the Hall stuff. Just dished deep about Kids
in
the
great.
Hall. Like, talked about Scott Thompson, like, catching himself on fire while naked cooking. Like, all these amazing stories. And then there was, like, you know, it's not a huge space. It's very intimate. All, you know, just chairs and, like, it feels like a small church kind of, what's the word? Like a rec room or something like that.
Like a fellowship hall.
Fellowship hall, that's the word. And it was just the most intimate, cool show I'd ever been to. And then kind of talked to Kevin after the show and was just a really nice guy. And so, yeah, if you're ever in Atlanta or you live in Atlanta, definitely check out Dad's Garage.
And let us know if you're going because we might go with you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I used to
Ben there several times.
Well, I'll just keep a short anecdote here. I used to steal my parents' car to go watch shows at Dad's Garage.
That's the best.
It was great. I'm very lucky I didn't get caught because I did not have a license.
But, well, they know now.
My parents don't listen to this show.
Last thing.
Yes.
Season 8 of Archer is available right now on FX Network somewhere.
Yeah, on FX Now or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all streaming somewhere.
And then season 9 apparently isn't going to be around until like 2019.
We haven't announced. I don't know. Is that true?
Rumors.
Where did
Those
you read that?
Rumors.
I don't know where anybody came up with that. I think it's Comic-Con next week, and I think we're announcing what the next season is going to be, which I can't say here.
Sure.
And then, I have no idea. I don't know, dude. I show up when they tell me.
No worries.
But it will be on the way. And
yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this discussion as much as we have. Thank you so much for your time, Lucky.
Thank you. This is truly a dream come true.
Yeah, for sure.
This is great, man. Thank you.
And we're going to head out. In the meantime, we will be back next week with more strange, bizarre, disturbing, once in a while enlightening things. We got the shrug from Lucky.
We raise questions in order to get people's brains thinking, right?
Right.
We do. When we're doing our best, that's what we aim for. And we'd like you to be a part of it. So you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We are Conspiracy Stuff at most of those. We're Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram. You can check out every podcast that we have ever done on our website, Deep Breath. StuffTheyDon'tWantYouToKnow.com.
We have a brand new video on our YouTube channel that just came out. First one in a very long while.
That's right.
You can watch it. It's fresh.
We're back. And in the meantime, if you want to take a page from your fellow listeners' book, remember all of our best ideas come from you. You can write to us directly if you want to avoid the brouhaha or the argle bargle of the internet.
Hurly burly?
You know what? I've got to stop saying it.
I like it.
we might end up actually making a catchphrase. Anyway, the point is you can write to us directly. We are.
Conspiracy@HowStuffWorks.com.
God damn you all to hell!
Yes. Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry. I know that's such a fan.
Dude, that's...